The following is presented by Le Sommet Coors Light, celebrity guests, entertainment, and oh, a bit of sports. Every Wednesday night on RDS.
City, once again. Gord Miller, how are you?
I'm well, sir. Good evening.
Hey, what's going on in New York?
Well, lots. You know, it's noisy, busy. I was just here two weeks ago. I'm taking Ray out for dinner, actually, tonight. We're going to a nice little place in Soho for dinner.
Oh, Soho. Oh, that's not quite Union Square. I think when we last left, you were heading to Union Square, right?
That'd be correct.
Yeah. You want to share the name of the restaurant, or you don't want to be bothered?
Oh, I'll do it next week.
Okay. Yeah, good idea. Because, you know, we have some people in the New York area like Stu Hackle. Stu Hackle might walk in and crash your dinner.
There you go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. Stu's a good guy.
What are your thoughts on Jaromir Jagr ending his NHL career or having it ended for him?
Well, first of all, great player. Obviously, you know, a fantastic player. But I don't think it serves justice to ignore the fact that for a long time, he was a really bad teammate. And, you know, I understand that people might be offended by saying that as his career is ending and everything else, but it's part of his legacy, is that, you know, Bruce Cassidy was interviewed in Boston about him and said that there were days he was really good and days he was really bad. And there are teammates, especially in Pittsburgh and Washington, who tell you that he was among the worst teammates they ever had.
Oof. What does that mean? So what does that mean? He just didn't give a crap about them?
Well, he was, you know, he was at times very selfish. There were times when he was really unduly harsh on teammates. I remember one year in the playoffs in Washington, Boyd Gordon was a center for the Capitals, whose back was so bad he was sleeping on the floor of the plane. Like he couldn't sit in an airplane seat. His back was so bad, but he was good on faceoffs. And Jagr said to him one time, "Why don't you just retire? You're useless."
Oh, man. Okay.
So I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, I mean, I guess.
Hello, Gord?
He got run out of Pittsburgh. He got run out of, you know, the Capitals basically gave him to the Rangers to get rid of him. He was really hard to coach at times. You know, so for all the great things, you know, number two in games played and points and all those things, he didn't score in his last 37 playoff games.
Well, that's right.
He averaged nearly 18 minutes a game over that time and didn't score.
Yeah, that's because he played too much in the regular season. That's my view of it.
Well, I mean, but, you know, in Florida, they would tell you that, you know, he demanded to play a lot. He was playing 18 and a half minutes a night, and given his relative production, wasn't that useful a player to them.
Man, so, this is worse than hearing Tom Brady's a phony.
Well, no, I don't mean to pile on. You have to balance the fact that he was an extraordinary player, an extraordinarily gifted, talented player, with the fact that there were long stretches when he was a complete pain in the butt.
That's a big butt, too.
and he revolutionized the game in terms of puck possession, in terms of turning his back to an opponent and holding the puck and being impossible to move off it. And I'm sorry if I sound harsh on him, but the fact is that you know, there are a number of players and former coaches and general managers who you know, weren't as enamored with him as a teammate, as an employee, as a person, than maybe people that didn't know him.
Well, you mentioned Bruce Cassidy. Didn't he call him a coach killer? Didn't he use that term?
I believe he did, yeah.
When he got fired in Washington.
Know, yeah, and you know, it's very moody at times, but as I said, could be savage to teammates. Could be really and not shy about it, and not in a way to make them better, and not in a way to inspire them, but just in a way to be cruel to them.
And you know, a lot of Canadian fans, Gord, always wondered, oh, you know, why didn't Jaromir Jagr ever get a chance with the Canadians? And every time I heard that, I always wondered what Mark Bergevin thought of Jagr, because he was a teammate of his right before he got traded to Washington.
Yeah.
And a very good friend of Mario Lemieux's, and I don't know if that chasm has ever been really smoothed over or breached, but, you know, there was a long time when Lemieux was not a big fan, and they, it ended badly in Pittsburgh. Then there was a second time when he came back from the KHL, he kind of flirted with going back to Pittsburgh and signed with the Flyers instead. Kind of strung them along a little bit. I think there's two sides to Jágr. One is brilliant, great player, Hall of Famer for sure, first ballot Hall of Famer. But the second part is a guy who was at times very disruptive.
I think if that Bergevin connection that you're talking about, because he played with almost everybody, played 20 years, played with a lot of people. By the time he came back and was looking to hook up with the Canadians, that he was a different guy. By all accounts, he's a different guy.
The second act of Jágr is certainly very different than the first, and he did become this kind of beloved elder statesman. But teams even after the comeback were wary of him around young players. You know, the workout stuff was great, but the clashing with coaches at times and trying to undermine them, they worried about his effect on young players.
Yeah, and how's Marc Bergevin done with the whole emphasis on character?
Well, yeah. I mean,
by the way,
but I mean, right? But I mean, it does matter in terms of, you know, if your lead dog is not on the program, you've got a real problem. Right. I mean, if one of your top players isn't on board, you've got a problem.
With Gord Miller about to head to dinner in Soho with Ray Ferraro on Melnick in the afternoon every Wednesday evening after 6, along with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, Kai Hebert, and Joey Alfieri are in at 7. Full hour of football talk, and I'm sure we'll get Kai's breakdown of Super Bowl 52. Rod?
I know talking to you over the holidays for those couple weeks, Gord, when things were once again going very poorly for the Canadians, you kind of threw the question at us. Are the Canadians a bad team, or are they having a bad year and would be able to rebound? I mean, now that we've seen loss after loss after loss over the last 3 weeks, are you any closer to figuring it out for yourself?
No, without Shea Weber, really hard to evaluate this team, I think. And I think that when you take a team's number one defenseman out, that's problematic. But the fact is, they don't have the depth to replace him. So that's an issue. I'm wavering towards a team that's probably not good enough to compete. Even with Weber in the lineup, is probably a team that scuffles for the eighth spot. And is that what you want to be? I mean, are the New York Rangers a bad team? I don't know. They're right on the cusp of. I mean, there's a seven-way battle between seven teams are what, 4 points apart for three playoff spots in the East. So, I mean, in today's NHL, I guess you got to be careful saying that someone is not very good when they're scuffling for a playoff spot, because very good teams are going to miss. But,
the Rangers aren't a very good team, right? You'd agree that the Rangers are not a very good team.
They're probably not. They have been a good team, though. But it looks as if they're on the decline. And I would suspect that they will offload more than they will take on at the deadline. So, yeah, I mean... So the question you have to ask yourself, I guess, is even if you are one of those teams scuffling for the eighth playoff spot, is that what you want to be? Is that really the team you want to be? Barring, the fact that you've had injuries or whatever the issue is. But you have to decide, with a healthy Shea Weber in the lineup, how good are the Montreal Canadiens?
They're not good enough. They're still not good enough.
Then if that's your view, it's time to look at what can you do to make it better.
Because if Shea Weber is in your lineup, he's your bona fide number one defenseman, but you don't have a number two. Your plan was, if you're the Canadians, your plan was to try to stay afloat with a six or five Jordy Benn or David Schlemko as his partner.
And I think the healthy scratching of Jordy Benn sends a pretty clear message, doesn't it?
You're talking coach to GM or just period?
Period.
Yeah.
It sends a pretty clear message about where they're at.
And so the other veteran player I think Pierre LeBrun started this, and it didn't come out of thin air, is that the Montreal Canadiens may actually re-sign Thomas Pekanets. And there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about that. And a lot of us wonder why. Why would they re-sign him in the summer, perhaps, but not prior to the trade deadline? I mean, even if you get a seventh round pick, Gord, he's an asset.
You know,
no.
Yeah, look, Nashville brought Mike Fisher back, so I mean, he hasn't played 8 months, 9 months. Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. I mean, has been a great player, was a proud Montreal Canadian, but what does he have to offer at this stage in his career to a team like Montreal, which is going to be looking to move forward, you would presume, with younger players, you would think.
Yeah, I don't know. Gallo is, I thought Plekanec would be their fourth line centerman this year. But goes to show what I know. All right, let's get, before we run out of time, it is Super Bowl 52. You wanted to say something? Gallo's got, come on. What were you going to say?
No, I wasn't going to say anything.
You weren't going to say anything?
No.
You weren't going to say anything?
No, not this time.
I'm going to make you say something here. And I wanted to get this in because I was thinking about it on the All-Star weekend.
Okay.
When they released the results of the TSN poll and the Hockey Writers midseason poll, T.K. Subban should be a candidate for the Norris Trophy.
Oh, how about that? You've come a long way, Mr. Miller.
No, I haven't. When you asked me that question 2 years ago, he wasn't.
Well, you didn't think he was, and I know there are a lot of hockey people that didn't think he was, but I thought he was.
Okay, but the way he was playing at that time.
Yeah, I thought he was.
I mean, do you think Erik Karlsson's an elite defenseman right now? Well, you'd say, given his history, he is. But this year, he's not.
He's severely hampered by injury. That's a whole other issue.
But for whatever reason, he's not the player he was. So Subban, in that year before the Montreal Canadiens traded, had that neck problem, that, you know, the neck and upper back thing that lingered all year for him. So, but he's been terrific this year. The question is, if you had nominations by team, would he get Nashville's nomination? Would Nashville nominate him for the Norris?
I heard an Aki Berg reference comparison to Erik Karlsson.
What?
What?
Yes, and it was.
Okay,
during...
hold on.
Yes,
he's having a rough year. Let's settle down here a bit, people.
And that was one of your compatriots over at Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he's clearly hobbled. He's coming off major surgery, but he has not been great. He has not been great for them, and so, you know, Drew Doughty wasn't great last year. Now, a lot of things happened in L.A. You know, their goaltender was hurt for 55 games. But the fact is, you know, P.K. Subban's having a great year. He's playing the way he did when he won the Norris in, 2013, right?
It's never too late. Never too late.
It's like you want to put someone in a box and say, okay, this is what you think of someone. It never changes. I mean, players' play comes and goes. And I think that Subban has really... I don't know if he's redefined himself, but he's playing really well. He's third in their team in ice time. They keep it pretty close there, but he's having a great year. He leads the team in scoring.
Yeah. Well, they have like 3-1s or 2-1s and a 1A or a 2. Four.
They've got four top pair defensemen. Like, Ekholm's really good there too. Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi are good, and so is Matthias Ekholm. Like, that's a great defense.
Will you be calling plays in the springtime for NBC with Mike Fisher as part of a Stanley Cup bound Nashville Predators?
I don't know. I mean, I guess you look at it this way. It's cheap insurance, right? It's a guy you know. It's a guy who's liked in the room, who's got a voice he's got a steadying voice in the room. So I guess you like that. They look pretty good to me. Like, I mean, Nick Bonino hasn't had a great year for them, but if he's in your... You know, he was Pittsburgh's third center when they won the Cup. I mean, they look pretty good to me. The Kyle Turris deal has been just fantastic for them. He fits like a hand in a glove in Nashville. Like, the way they play, the way he plays, he's been just terrific there. So, will Mike Fisher be the difference maker for Nashville? Hard to believe. I guess, you know, he could be. But I guess you look at it as cheap insurance, right? I mean, so let me ask you this. I mean, I guess you go out and trade for Thomas Plekanec, right, and give up a fifth or seventh round pick or whatever. I mean, this way you get a cheaper player that you know.
Yeah. No, 100%. I understand why Nashville's doing it. Do you care about the Super Bowl?
Yes. So I have, for the last, since 1996, made a Super Bowl wager with a friend. I reeled off. I think I won the first six. He won the next 15.
Wow.
A reign of error. I mean, honestly.
Sounds like the baseball all-star game all those years ago.
I got dunked on the number more times, like, honestly. So I'm trying to debate right now. We're going back and forth. The line's 4.5 or 5.5. What's the line for New England? Well, 4.5 or 5.5?
Depending on what you see. I've seen it at 4 in a lot of places, Gord.
Yeah, like I don't know. Like, I love the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. So I just don't know.
Oh, gee, thanks.
By the way, I told that story about the Super Bowl bet to my friend Kevin Abrams. He's the assistant GM of the Giants. To which he replied, "So you didn't have us in any of our 3 Super Bowl wins?"
Gord's already.
I did have you once, but you didn't cover.
Gord's already at the restaurant in Soho, clearly. Say hi to Ray. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
My pleasure. Yeah. Might come back.
I'm really focused on what they've done, what they're doing, how hard they are to stop, how explosive they are, how well they execute what they're doing.
He was better. He was better at media night.
Yeah, we prefer that version.
He's back in full Super Bowl head coaching mode.
100%.
It's a very historic Super Bowl anniversary, which we'll get to in a moment. Do we have anything to give away, or are we done? I think we've given away everything, right?
We've got quite a bit.
Kevin Hart tickets?
Yes.
Qualifier for trip to Vegas? Mm-hmm. See the Canadians?
Yep.
Anything else?
You can...
The Super Bowl party?
Yeah, tsn690.ca.
You have a chance to win, but you got to go to the website for that, tsn690.ca. And Gallus pillow fight. What's your pillow fight today? We're going to get the results pretty soon here.
Well, we had the...
Gord Miller and Ray Ferraro. How about that?
We had the defending champion, Brendan Gallagher, against the greatest of all time, Tom Brady.
The Bengal against the Patriot. Okay. Coming up.
Melnick in the Afternoon, brought to you by Ginsburg Jingra. Experiencing holiday debt hangover? Contact a licensed insolvency trustee at ginsburgjingra.com/debt hangover.
Today is Bell Let's Talk Day. Visit bell.ca/letstalk and join the conversation on social media.
You would like to discover the finesse, the elegance, and the mystery of...